That's right, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And man, what is going on today? It's hump day, and man, there's some strange things going on out there. Woo! You know what? We're going to have to let this music play for a minute, man, because man, there's some strange stuff going out there. I don't know whether it's the full moon. I don't know what the heck it is going on out there, but there's some strange stuff going on, y'all. And you know what? We're going to have to talk about this today. So, to talk today is convicted felons. Do they deserve another chance? But I don't know if we even going to get a chance to get to the topic. Now, I'm just going to put it that way, because the way things are going today, it's hump day, there's some strange things going on. Some very strange things, and we're going to have to talk about it, because my goodness, I don't know what's really happening out there, but it's okay. You're in the right place, that's for sure. You are in the right place. Welcome. It's hump day, y'all. That's right, it is hump day. Woo! Once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and know what's going on, but we got some things hopping right about now. Yes, we do. We got some things hopping. Breaking news, y'all. Aaron Hernandez, the former New England Patriots tight end, has been charged with murder. Once again, another athlete that got himself in trouble. What's up with all these athletes, man? Oh, my goodness. Murder? Really? You making all that money? You got to go out there and kill someone? Oh, man. Okay, we know. Proven innocent until guilty, right? They innocent until proven guilty. Whatever. And I'm going to tell you, you know the funny part about it? This is why we need to educate our young men about the business of sports. Because that's what it is. It's business. Once you get to that level, it's no longer a game. It's business. All right, soon as the Patriots heard that he was arrested, they cut his behind. We have nothing else to do with you. You know, no, we standing behind you, whatever. None of that. They got rid of him, cut him. See you later. Well, I tell you, it's a business. And yet we steady trying to push our young men to be all these great athletes, like these great athletes. You should be teaching them how to be like you. Or just tell them, be themselves. Be a leader. They don't need to follow anybody. Be a leader. But anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm just kind of jumping off the table already, aren't I? So what's going on out there, y'all? It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's the middle of the week. For some of you, that means 2 days left, right? 2 days left in the work week. Now, I'm talking about 2 days left in my work week. That's for dang on sure. Hey, and it's a beautiful day outside. Yes, it is. I'm telling you, right now we got a nice and warm. Man, it's so warm outside right now. I'm telling you, the heat itself is running away. I'm telling you, man, it is hot outside. You know what I mean? It is. It is, man, I'm telling you. I'll get y'all the temperature in a minute. But man, what is really going on with these athletes, man? They make all that money, make all these great commercials, but yet you're behind the doors, you killing someone. Now, he just done ruined it. Signed a big contract, right? Just signed a big contract. Now you got to fight for your life because you've been charged with murder. For those who don't know, Aaron Hernandez, charged with murder. Well, I tell you, if it's not one thing, it's another, I tell you. But, hey, it is what it is, right? All right, y'all. Welcome to the show. You want to leave a comment, just hit me up at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Or if you want to come on the show, voice your opinion, be heard, no problem. Give me a call, 347-838-8622. Once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And we got that away. Let's go on and get on. Oh, boo, I see you. Hope you're having fun in your meeting. All my guests in the chat room, I see y'all out there. Thank you for joining us today. The rider dies. The rider dies. That I'm talking about. But anyway, let's go on and get on with it. Get on. Here it is. The house rules, be an adult. That's all it is. That's the house rules today. Be an adult. Do not call this show acting like you're a kid, because this is an adult show. Adult things are said, and you don't need to be picking on anyone. You don't need to be personally attacking anyone. That is not what adults do. If you have a problem with that, then maybe you're not the adult you think you are. And if you call here doing it, hey, we're going to handle you. It's just that simple. We're going to handle you. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to play around with you. We're just going to tell you straight up. You're going to get handled. You know, and then we ask you respect everybody else's time to speak and all that. Y'all gonna have to excuse me now. I'm kind of woozy here for a moment, but it's okay. You know what I mean? So that is it. And you know, it's amazing that I say this almost every day. It is, it's something I say that every day, but yet there's always someone that tries me. Someone that tries me. But you know what? It's okay. They can keep trying. Keep trying. We will overcome. Dang gone Skippy. We will overcome. All right. Well, that was the house rules, okay? That was basically it. Be an adult. Now, I'm not going to be saying it over and over again. Be an adult. Okay? After that, I'll just treat you as you act. That's right. I'll treat you as you act. The quote of the day, I'm telling you, this is something I think we have forgotten about. Or have we? Or have we let the thought of it be taken away from us? I think that's more the word. The quote of the day is, you may kill the dreamer, but you cannot kill the dream. Ain't that, oh my goodness. Y'all need to hear that again. We're going to say it one more time. You may kill the dreamer, but you cannot kill the dream. Now, your question is, are you going to continue to go after the dream? Or once the dreamer is gone, you're just going to stop? Because it seems like that's what we've done in many cases. Now, the dreamer was taken away. And with the dreamer, we kind of settled on the dream and just stayed that there's a dream out there. There's a dream out there. Well, damn it, who's going to go and get that dream? It's still there. It's still there. It's waiting for us. But we haven't got the nuts to go and get it, because we're waiting for that someone to come and lead us to the promised land. Because the promised land, we need a leader to get there. Bull crap. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm just going to put it on out there. That's bull crap. Hell, you know, we don't need no leader to follow to get to the dream. You just got to know what dream you want. That's right. You just got to know what dream you want. It's not hard, people. It's not hard. But sometimes we make it hard because we always waiting on someone else. There is no one else. There's you. There is you. That is the someone else. But yet, We wait on two individuals. And it's amazing. It's amazing because, you know what? We got all these great. Wow, I'm getting started already. Look, we got all these great organizations out there. You know, the Rainbow Coalition. We got the dang on NAACP, the Black Caucus, and whatever else we got out there. How come you never hear about them until something done has happened? But wait a minute. Something has happened. Right? Yeah. To where there's a lot of publicity going to be involved. Yeah. Yeah. That's when you hear from them. How come we don't hear about them when we've got all this black-on-black crime going on, all this black-on-black murder? We don't hear from them then, do we? Oh, they sitting up in their little office. Then why? Because they can't make any money off of it. All right. I'm gonna get off that box right there. I know some of y'all probably getting upset. Let me go on and get my shout outs to the chat room. That's just a tease though, what I'm coming back with though. But that's just a tease right there. Trinity Lee, I see you out there. Thank you for joining us. And then we got Buck Styles. Then we got 1-4. I told you I can't pronounce the other word. So just 1-4, you know who I'm talking about. And all the other guests, 504, I see you. My switchboard. Thank y'all for joining us today. All right. Now, y'all got a little hint of my little tirade. We're going to go in and get the song of the day out the way. Then I come back and do some more tirade. I don't even know if that's a word, tirade, but who cares? We're going to do it anyway. All right. This is so, hey, I don't know why I picked it, when I liked it, and so I'm going to play it. It's just that simple. And I actually like this little group anyway, so, you know, usually can't go wrong with their songs. All right? So here's the song of the day. I'm moving on.
The past I regret. I've found you find strength in your moments of weakness. For once I've at peace with myself. I've been burdened with blame, trapped in the past for too long. But they're always the same. They mean me no harm, but it's time that I face it. They'll never allow me to change. But I never dreamed home would end up where I don't belong. Oh, I sold what I could and packed what I couldn't. Stopped to fill up on my way out of town. I've loved like I should, but lived like I shouldn't. I had to lose everything to find out. Maybe forgiveness will find me somewhere down the road. I'm moving on.
All right, y'all, that's what I'm talking about right there. I'm Moving On by Rascal Flatts. I like that song. That's a good song, man. That really is. That's a good song. Because you know why? I'm going to tell you why it's a good song. I like that song so much. Because it's telling the truth. You know, some of y'all, y'all just in the freaking way. Yeah, some of you just in the way. You're not trying to do any better. You don't want to do any better. And you just want to sit there and marinate and perpetrate and irritate. You need to move on. Get the heck out the way. Let somebody make something happen that wants something to happen, want to be something. For all you you mutters, I'm going to call you mutters, you know, want to just get there and spin your wheels in the mud. Hey, get the hell out the way. Move on. Get to moving on. All right? That's all I'm going to say. Now, I'm not saying all of you like that, but I know some of you out there. There's somebody out there need to hear this today. You know, you need to get that anchor up. You know, you've been sitting in that one spot forever, just treading water, just sitting there, ship just getting all rusty or what have you. You know what? It's time for you to pull anchor and get busy. Huh? That's right. That's right. Either catch some fish or go back into the dock. Damn it. That's all it is to it. I'm just going to tell you like it is because I ain't got to be scared of none of you out there. Okay, maybe one or two of you, but you know, that's a whole different thing. But anyway, so that was the song of the day. I'm Moving On by Rascal Flatts. Hey, I like that song right there. I'm Rascal Flatts. They're a pretty good group, you know. So anyway, all right. So what's happening? What's going on? It's Wednesday out there. Once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the host, Mr. Talk. You want to join the conversation, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And I think we have all that covered. Now, let's get on with the get on, because we're going to talk about some stupidity real fast. Now, Aaron Hernandez has been charged with first-degree murder, and he is the ex-Patriots tight end. You know, and this is served. You know, if you have young kids or just teenagers, period, in sports, you need to let them sit down and watch this one right here. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the show, nothing is permanent. Nothing. He hadn't been arrested 2 hours. The Patriots cut him. So it's not about, there's no loyalty. You understand what I'm saying? None whatsoever. It's a business. It's not. When you get to this level, it's not about sport anymore. It's about business. You're a commodity. You belong to them. Once you mess up, that's it. They're not going to stand behind you. They're not going to try and help you. So before you decide you want to go out there and bring your childhood bull crap on to the scene, you need to stop it up while you're ahead. Now, just think about it. This guy's making millions of dollars. They went to his home this morning, pulled him out of his house, handcuffed him. Now, he's on television being arraigned, being held without bond. What they going to do to your little dumb behind you out there breaking in people's houses and carrying on? You better get a grip. You better wake up, because it's about time somebody told you what the real deal was. I don't care. Y'all can get mad at me today. I don't care. I don't care, because I feel like telling it like it is. That's right. And for you parents walking around here with your pants down, and you got all them other people hair in your head, and your children running around here looking raggedy, you need to get it together too. That's right. It's kind of like a Freedom, a Fun Friday now. I'm just saying. Benny, I see you out there. Thank you for joining us, man. I just feel like putting it out there today. You understand what I'm saying? I just feel like putting it out there because it's stupid. You making all that money, but you want to go and kill someone. Why? Why? And think you're not going to get caught. Are you serious? You don't make that much money in the world. You don't have that much power. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, all right. I'm going to calm down in a minute, y'all. I'm going to calm down. And what's going on? You know what? And I'm going to stay on this rant for a moment. You know what? And so, Hernandez, if you did it, bruh, hey, it's time to pay the piper. If you didn't, hey, you shouldn't have got yourself using the wrong place at the wrong time, hanging out with the wrong people. And you see that? Even hanging with the wrong people can get you tore up. Woo-hoo! Y'all better recognize that, too. But anyway, I'm going to get off that boat, too. All right? I'm going to calm down, y'all, in a minute. I'm going to calm down. But what the hell is going on with the Supreme Court? You know, look, the Supreme Court is supposed to... I don't know what the hell the Supreme Court is supposed to do anymore. Because it seems like the only thing they do is pass the buck now. They really do. They're not really setting a tone for anything. You know, they're passing the buck. Now, they could have solved this same-sex marriage mess. Once again, they could have handled it. Say, look, it's between a man and a woman, and no, you don't get no federal benefits. But no, they took the easy way out. Okay, the same couples that marry in states where it's legal can now be treated like heterosexual couples by the federal government. In other words, they can get insurance and all that like married, regular married people. But that's in the states that already allow it. Okay? But the states that do not allow it, it can't be done. Now, what the hell kind of decision was that? Huh? What kind of decision was that? What did you actually create besides more confusion? Huh? More confusion. Now what you did, because you didn't settle anything. You just made it a lot. Praising. All right. Do y'all understand what I'm saying out there? The Supreme Court didn't do anything, y'all. They messed around and jacked it up again. First, it was affirmative action this week. They didn't want to do anything with that. Send it back to a lower court. Let them deal with it. Huh? Really? Why do we have the highest court in the land if they won't make any damn decisions? Let's disband them. They're a bunch of old farts anyway, apparently. No, they just happy with being on the damn court. They're not trying to make no decisions. Now, if y'all don't agree with me, fine. Tell me y'all don't agree with me. But I'm just putting it out there like I see it. You know, they're useless right now. They're not making any decisions. They're making decisions to push it back on somebody else so they won't be held accountable. But when is someone going to be held? When are we going to hold somebody accountable for this nonsense that we have going on in this country? Huh? When? And ain't nobody being no homophobic and all that good crap either. Before some of you get all out joining, I don't care. I'm just telling you like it is. It is what it is, damn it. They not making no decisions, and they keep messing it up. The Raiders got a punter named Chris Clue. He was with the Vikings, but he started talking to noise with the Vikings, and they cut him loose. Miss Lady, I see you on the line. Thank you for joining today. And look, he is a staunch supporter of gay rights. He really is. And he says the United States is a nation of bigots, homophobes, and ignorant narcissists. This is what this guy said, right? He's a supporter of gay rights. He said we preach tolerance and legislate hate. We love our neighbor unless our neighbor happens to be different. We elect politicians year in and year out on a platform of oppression and prejudice that merely changes its name to fit in with the times. And this is the one that made that got my feathers up. He compared the battle for gay rights to slavery, suffrage and segregation. What the hell is he thinking? Woo! But did you feel that heat then? Did you feel the heat then? He compared it to slavery, suffrage, and segregation. The battle for gay rights. Are you kidding me? That is just so wrong. So wrong. Because it's not the same at all. But yet, we make it seem like it is, don't we? Because that's the thing to do now. That's the thing to do. That is the thing to do. Woo! I'm calming down, y'all. I'm calming down. Let's see, I got two callers with their hands up right now, and I'm finna bring both of them in at one time. Hey, let's welcome Mr. N.O. Lowe to the house, and let's welcome Miss Lady on the phone. Welcome. Happy Wednesday to both of you. How y'all doing?
Swell.
So what's on y'all mind today?
Hi, hello, good afternoon. You know, this has been a long time coming, and things have, you know, people and situations had to be put in place for it to go the way it's going. It's all been, you know, planned years in the making. So, you know, Africa, they know all of your arguments. They know that it's not the same. They know that there's very little similarity in terms of the abuse and the horrors that Black people have had to face and are still facing versus gay rights. Of course, there have been gay people that have been oppressed and abused and murdered, and they're not at the extent of, you know, the passage from Africa with the slaves and the atrocities of that and the millions that were killed and, you know, working on the plantations for free 6 days a week being abused and all the rapes. But all there's no, they know that. They, all the way up until today, it hasn't. Discrimination has ceased to see via Paula Deen as a prime example and her brother Bubba. Nothing has, you know, there's just no comparison. They know that. They don't care because they're putting their plan in place.
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Hold on. Mr.
Care.
Talk, could you do me a favor?
I'm listening.
Give that lady an applause for that.
Oh, you know what?
Damn right.
I, you know what? That's coming from Low. So, yes, I must do that.
Wow.
Let's
say
applause for that.
That's right. You know, we're going to give you an extended clap. Yeah. Yeah, that's because Low told me to give it to you. That's what I'm talking about right there.
I am an advocate for truth. For truth, and that was nothing but the truth.
And the bottom line is pro-gay rights, pro-immigrant rights, and you know, civil rights for Blacks, that's over. People didn't see it coming. I mean, it's like it's obvious that it's been coming because they're not finished yet. They just changed the Voting Rights Act law to make it harder for, going to make it harder for Black and brown people to vote. As well, so
they sure,
you know, this is why they had to have certain people put in positions where they had to stop voting counts. I mean, basically, the president's come and go, but the Supreme Court rulings live on and affect, you know, generations to come because they live to be 90, 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get them; they have to be impeached. And good luck.
Wow. You know,
so,
I know you got something to say. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Miss Lady.
Okay, so I'm pretty much finished. I'll let someone else talk. But it's been a long time. It's the handwriting was on the wall. People were in such denial, and they didn't want to deal with reality. Well, the reality is going to continue to be to hit them, you know, when they can't find jobs. Just like that Yolanda City we were talking about a couple of weeks ago where Kat didn't understand. And, you know, when the woman put out 300 job resumes stating she was Black on Monster.com, and she didn't get one call. But, when, you know, over 2 years. But when she changed her ethnicity to white and changed her name with the same, you know, resume, she started getting calls immediately. I mean, people don't want to deal with reality.
Mm.
They want to blame the victim. They want to blame the victim of all the abuse and mistreatment. and discrimination.
Do they want to blame the victim or do they want to be the victim?
that is
the question.
They don't want to be the victim. They'll attach themselves to us.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
They're attaching
themselves to the legal argument. They don't want to be you. They don't want to be with you.
I said that. They'll attach themselves just like a host and a parasite. They'll attach themselves to you, but as soon as they get what they want, they'll fall off you. They don't need you anymore. They've got everything that they need from you.
Just like players. Just like players. Just like narcissists. Same thing.
Well,
mm-hmm.
You know,
go ahead.
I have nothing against any formal education, anything like that, you know, schooling, blah, blah, blah. All that's great and wonderful, you know. The fact still stands, you know, all of that's good, and we always teach our children to strive to do better, to get well-educated and everything. But, you know, and I hate to use this quote from, of all people, Don King. If you're a poor N-word, you're a poor N-word. If you're a rich one, you're a rich one. If you need to be educated, you're just an educated N-word. And that's how it is here. In this country, more so. I've been abroad, and I've lived and walked in places. I walked down the street, and no time did I feel that I was an N-word at all. Only here. And to say that someone woke up one day and made a choice to live their life a certain way is the exact same thing, or even more so, even damning, than a man that came out of his mother a certain place, didn't have any choice in the matter, and has been treated like garbage throughout their entire existence, lied to, lied on, and lied about. I don't see the similarity there anyway. I don't care how you try to fix it.
Anyway.
You know,
that's right.
Anyway,
that's right.
None whatsoever.
That's right. And, you know, it's just amazing to me how the Supreme Court is just letting, you know, they're not trying to rule on anything. Like I said before, they just passing the buck right now. You know,
of course.
You know, we're going to do this. Okay, pass it back down. Let them deal with it. That way we can keep our hands so-called, like Pontius Pilate. This way we can keep our hands clean. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right.
You know, we can't get none of this on ours. Hold on, let me bring Goofy in, though. All right, Goofy, you on the air, bro. What's going on?
What's crackalacking, gentlemen? I'm a little bit hungover, so if I don't
That's
find
a lady
myself,
that's who now.
I'm just, I had a wonderful night
who?
Last night, so oh. I'm just
yeah.
here right
now. Oh, yeah, man. That gentleman, I'm too goofy. Lord,
nah,
make sure you speak to Miss Lady.
Oh, hello, Miss Lady. I didn't see you there. I'm sorry.
Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm.
And see that big old smile on her face. I can see it.
Yeah. See that?
I can see that big old smile.
Yeah. I see it too.
What you got to say, Goofy? What you got to say? I know.
What about the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, there's nothing we could do about it. California voted no on Proposition 8. That meant no, but yet, you know, the gays were upset. They're supposed to be gay, not upset. They're supposed to be happy. That's what gay means, right? Well, anyways, those people went over there and started crying and bitching and wanted special treatments. So what did they do? They let these people, you know, who wear nice little gowns and think they're all, you know, professional, and they let these idiots just, you know, throw it out there. Yeah, go ahead, whatever. We don't care. You know what I mean? It's like, the thing was voted no in my state. I don't know in other states, but in my state it was voted no. And for this shit to happen and then right away they want to, you know, just start letting people get married today. I mean, it is what it is. That's all I'm saying is, okay, you let the gays be the gays. Well, then don't hate on me for being a gang member and letting my flag hang out or letting my shirt be the color that it wants to be. Because you seem to have a problem with that. You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start making gang as a religion so these motherfuckers could stop fucking with me. Because I have a tendency to always get involved with the police when I don't want to be involved with them. It's just the way I look. I'm a big guy. You know, I look like a threat. and these motherfuckers seem to always want to pick on me. But yet they let the gays be the gays, so shit, let a gangster be a gangster, and let me live my fucking life. But anyways, I'm sorry to get off topic, but I need to chill out. Like I said, I'm hungover. I went to a 70s like club. They played number 70s music, and I was in the groove line. I was in the groove line, like Heat Wave, you know, that song they were singing.
Yeah.
And they had like a Soul Train line. Shit, I was fucking, oh, man, everybody loved me. Fuck, man. But shit, I'm paying for it today, though. Oh, man.
Okay, you paying for it today.
And that's a young man, ain't that something?
That's something else, man, I tell you.
Wow.
But, yeah, I really don't see how they can compare the battle for gay rights to slavery, suffrage, and segregation. There's no way in heck any of that can be compared. But
do you see how fast they got theirs before slavery got theirs? You know what I mean? You can't compare that shit. Cause, I mean, even though gays may have gotten beat up a little bit, they didn't get lashed to the back. They didn't get treated to the people tell them to do all that stuff, you know, they didn't do that. So how the hell can they say that, they're comparing it to slavery? That's stupid, man.
Man, let me tell you something. First thing
tell us something
I don't like. Yeah, first thing I don't like is when those Khazars go to lying about their Holocaust. They want to put movies up. They want to do all this. But when one black person says one thing about slavery is get over it. Oh, we don't. That's no one wants to deal with that anymore. Just get over that. We're past that. And every 2 weeks you see a new Holocaust movie come out. So, and this is piggybacking off of Aaron Hernandez, another idiot, a prima donna that thought he could live how he wanted to live because we put the wrong people, we pump up the wrong people in this country. Oh, if you're an athlete, or you're a star or something. Yeah, we love you to death. We all over you. You know, you can't do anything wrong. You do something wrong, we'll make up an excuse for it, and we'll pamper you. Hey, if you get caught with drugs or something, we'll send you to rehab, and we'll just put that behind you. You let me or one of you all get caught like that, we're going to get slammed. And we're going to get some good time for it, too. So all in all, supposedly the guy that was murdered or whatever was a black man. So regardless of whoever did it, there won't be much time issued out in this. So it don't matter. And like I said before, we never raise up unless someone that's related to us.
Look, we never raise up because, look, number one, if there's not any publicity or any money that may be made off of it, no, we ain't going to raise up. Not at all.
I'm not talking about the figureheads that's there, like, you know, your coalitions.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us,
period. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. If there's nothing in it for us to make or what to come out on, we'll never raise up on it.
Exactly. You know? We're not going to do anything. You know?
You're right.
Well, did you guys see the way he got carted off? I mean, at least he got a T-shirt. Shit. When they come busting my door and got me one time, shit, I was walking out in my good old skibbies. Shit, one sock on and just the underwear. Shit, I mean, it pisses me off how celebrities get the nice little treatment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, they're the same people as us. They just, you know, are on TV.
Jesus. Yeah, I'll turn myself in at 9 o'clock on Monday morning.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is that?
And guess what? And we're late. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you.
Yeah. You go and you get you get everything in order. You know, get your legal team set up and get your finances straight.
This is what made me laugh, though. The Patriots cut him within 30 minutes of him being arrested. They got rid of him.
It wasn't
showing any support or nothing. Hey, you know, they all actually turned their back and say, hey, we got to go. But if that had been Tom Brady, I guarantee goddamn they wouldn't have turned their back on him. I'm just putting it out there.
You can say that.
I'm going to say it like this. First place, Tom Brady wouldn't have got caught up in no dumb shit like that. You know, they done spent a whole bunch of money on that white boy, and ain't no way in the hell this damn wetback finna fuck their future up with their image that they have. I mean, come on now. Let's call it what it is.
All right. Go ahead. You're right. Because they said that.
Nowhere in the world. Right.
You know, the team stands for a certain brand.
Right.
You know, and
right.
since he got arrested, he no longer fits that. You're right.
He stands behind Gretkowski, and Gretkowski is a beast. So, hey, okay, well, you know, shuffle on. You know, suck to be you. I mean,
Yeah. And
let's put it out there. You second string that could have been a great first string with anybody else, but he was with them, and they used him, and they knew that, hey, if Gretkowski go down, we got a strong second. But in the event that he get in trouble, he on his own. And I don't blame them for doing that. It's business. You know, one thing that I hated when LeBron James decided to go to Miami, he had all these black people. Wow, he just didn't show no loyalty. I said, wait a minute, man, this is all business. If that man would have hurt himself and would have gotten put out of the league, Cleveland wouldn't have paid him all the money that he would have been due if he would have hit certain benchmarks as far as points and everything else. They would have only paid him what they had to. So it was just business. You know, that's all it is. Whenever you look at it.
And the thing about it, you know what I'm tired of seeing? Is that fat white bitch Paula Deen. I'm tired of turning on the TV and seeing her fat ass. Oh, well, you said the N-word. You got fired just like anybody else in this world, okay? You lost your thing, your sponsors. Get over it.
She didn't lose everything, though.
Like some actors
You know what? Everybody is feeling sorry for Paula Deen. Paula Deen will be all right. Number one, she still got her restaurants. She still got her books. She's still getting royalties from all that. Look, let's be honest. This is what happened. Food Network wanted to get rid of her anyway when they found out she had diabetes. But they couldn't because it was no way for her to get out of her contract. Now, in this case, they can say moral in the contract.
Moral clause.
Yeah, a moral clause in the contract would help her get, you know, which she violated. So, yeah, we don't have to renew. We can't fire you, but we don't have to renew your contract either. No problem.
Right.
It's just like Tiger Woods. Think about it. Everybody jumped off his bandwagon. Wait a couple of years, a year and a half or two, what happened? Now he's making more money than he was before. It's like everything went under the rug. Come on. It's business. Mm-hmm. It's a game.
That's all.
You know,
that's
and we the people outside, we get caught up in this nonsense, and it's not really affecting us nowhere at all. None.
Right.
But yeah, we put more of our energy in that instead of getting out there and taking care of our own damn kids. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, just like Chris Brown slapping up Rihanna. Shit, it's okay. He can sell records. It's business, right? All the little girls still loving him, even though he beat the shit out of girl Rihanna. But it's okay.
Man, hold up, man. You don't know what happened in that car.
Uh-oh.
It don't matter. I get in fights with all my hoes all the time, but I don't beat the shit out of them. I don't even put a damn hand on them. I walk away from the situation.
You can dress this up however you want to.
What that got to do with anything? You know, anybody think about Chris Brown? He's a dumb one too. He really is. You know what? He is. And Rihanna just as dumb as he is because she keep going back. So what is the issue? Once again, whatever they do, it's not affecting any of us.
They still make it.
I'm saying that it's okay. It's okay. Little girls are watching this shit saying that it's okay for their boyfriend to strap them up once in a while, but they'll come back.
You know what,
Goosey? That's what I'm trying to get at.
It's not Chris Brown and Rihanna or anybody else a job to teach these little girls that's wrong.
Absolutely right. Nope.
No, it's not.
If little girls
believe that, then you know what? That's on the parents.
You're right. Little girls shouldn't be watching Chris Brown and Rihanna in the first place. You know, and you know, I'll say this on that note. And I don't give a damn who don't like it.
That's right.
237 pounds. I'm 6'2". I lift weights. I run. I exercise. I do all that stuff. Now, if I have a woman that's
you don't run that
whatever
far,
weight,
yeah.
She.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got back. Anyway, I used to. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I have a woman that's, I don't care what weight, what height, whatever, if you attack me, you put yourself in a position to defend myself, and all I see is a person that's attacked. I don't give a damn if you are a woman. If you got nuts enough to run up on me like that, then you get what you get. And with that note, as far as Chris Brown and what happened in that car, nobody knows what happened. Don't nobody know what he did to her. Don't nobody know what she did to him.
Mm.
Plain and simple.
But
don't know
business.
What happened. And,
wow.
And you know, he come on Larry King looking the part because his handler said, hey, we got to clean this up. He come on there looking like an altar boy. And the next thing you know, they put him in a video, have him to cry a little bit. And right after that, they accepted him right back, and he blondes his hair, and all of a sudden, he's such the bad boy. When you cry,
yeah.
That made you a bitch, Chris. Really.
All right. All right. All right. There's another story I want to get in before we get to the topic today. And it has to do with the Supreme Court again. Yeah, today is a jump on the Supreme Court.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they sided on Tuesday with adoptive parents in a divisive custody fight over a Native American child after the biological father asserted his parental rights. Now, the adoption by a white couple was proper and did not intrude on the federal rights of the father, a registered member of the Cherokee tribe, over where his daughter, Veronica III, would live. The court said the father could not rely on the Indian Child Welfare Act for relief because he never had legal or physical custody at the time of adoption proceedings, which were initiated by the birth mother without his knowledge. What are they doing?
The father doesn't have no rights to see his daughter.
Don't have no right to.
What do you mean see? You don't have the right to have his daughter.
Well,
yeah.
Well, what can we do but sit here and argue about it while those stupid idiots in their little capes and gowns think that they're doing a great job? You know what I mean? This world is starting to get so
people
sick,
don't
man.
People don't give a damn.
I hate to see us in 10 years. I pray somebody takes me out. Seriously.
I mean, let's really think about this. This man, he, you know, everybody jumps on the father because, okay, he don't want to take care of his child. This man has tried to get his child back, and because the mother gave the child up without his knowledge now, and he activated his parental right, I want my child back, because the mother did an adoption, went through, he can't get his own child back. That is just, and the Supreme Court sided with the adoptive family. What kind of mess is that? You know, what? Where are we going in this country? Where are we going now?
What do you mean, where are we going? Where are we already at? You swimming
man.
In the bowl. Listen, man, you swimming in the bowl. You looking around. You see the feces and you smell it, but where are we going? Where are we, motherfucker? You there? What you mean? Where are you going?
Oh, we there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, look at us. We're fighting over this, and look, poor Nelson Mandela's on life support. You know what I mean? It's like every day there's a different situation, and every day somebody's dying. You just gotta wait your turn. I'm starting to realize, because I mean, it, as much as we complain about what's going on in life, unless there's a real thing that could change it, something that's chaotic, that will switch it, something that'll bring balance to it, ain't nothing's going to happen. And it sickens me. I mean, like I said, 10 years from now, God knows where we'll be. God knows what will happen to this poor United States of America. Who knows? We'll probably be divided in four sections. Who knows?
Read the Bible, you'll know.
Say what? Who
read
said anything about united? Okay, I take that back. We united at football and basketball and soccer and hockey and all that. We were united then.
Right.
But that's
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, we love foolishness.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, the rest of that story is the courts in South Carolina affirmed that the father, Dustin Brown, is Veronica's father and that he is a fit parent. You know, so the Supreme Court took it and said, okay, no. I go back to my opening statement. I don't know what they're doing up there in the Supreme Court besides just sitting there collecting checks and chewing on snuff or whatever. But something needs to be done. It really does, because it's pitiful. It really is. It's just pitiful.
Well, okay. You know, they'll put it under the cloak of, you know, they'll have someone, quote-unquote, high up in stature come out, and we have the most great system of checks and balances in the world and this and that, and only the people with the cameras will be standing there, you know, filming this man talking, but the people standing behind the people with the cameras are sitting there with this look on their face like, I know this motherfucker didn't say this. I mean, real talk. And you may even hear some applause because you know when someone starts clapping in those press conferences and whatnot, everyone has to clap. You know, whether they believe it or not. So, you know, the problem comes when you have someone in there such as myself or yourself or Goofy or somebody that says, well, hey, well, what about such and such and such and such? And that's when the ushers will come and usher you out of there because you're not a part of the like minds that's in here with us right now. Erykah Badu had an album cover a few years ago, and it was a cartoon image of a man standing on a podium, and it was actually a skeleton in a suit. And everyone out there in the crowd was sitting there. All you saw was, like, shoulders, no heads.
Mm-hmm.
And she's giving up the impression that people, yeah. And the thing was, behind some of the songs, is people are not using their heads. They're not thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever this man at this podium is saying, oh, they're just sitting there taking it. You know?
All right.
Whoever those people was that got this baby, I'm glad that happened to that dude because, you know, I don't think Mr. Talk would have took that one laying down because his baby mama wouldn't allow that to happen either, would she?
Nope.
You know what? The thing that pisses me off on this is that, I mean, if the guy wanted to be a father, he should have been on that baby like, you know, flies on shit.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
What part of... She did it without his knowledge, you don't understand.
Right.
So you're saying within...
Yes, she put the baby... She put the baby up for adoption,
so
and he had no idea.
So it took him to figure out, like, hey, what the fuck, where's my kid? You know what I mean? Shit, you should see your kid every fucking day if you love
Goofy.
Your kid.
Goofy, let me tell you something. Now, what you said right then, it sounds all great on the surface. But until
on the
you're
surface.
In that situation,
who the fuck am I? I don't have no kids, but I'm just saying this is just for me.
No. All you got to do is listen right now. Matter of fact, all you need to do is what they call in the military, just at ease and listen. Just listen. Don't say a word.
Yes, sir.
It sounds great. It sounds great on the surface, but there are so many moving parts to that element that you will never be able to fix to be perfect. Oh yeah,
That's great.
You know, on a Lifetime movie, the dad comes by and pick the kids up from the school, and so how was your day? And everything's great, and blah blah blah. And me and my dad went for ice cream yesterday, and he bring the kid back to the house, and then okay, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll see you Saturday, whatever. That sounds great on the surface, but there's so many other elements that will prevent that from happening, and all it has to do is to start with one person being disgruntled. Just one.
Well,
you can have
permission to talk, Sergeant Lowe.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm not in the military, not affiliated. I'm just putting it out there.
he's gonna tell you he's not affiliated. He just told you at ease. They gonna say I'm not affiliated with the military. Really, really.
But,
I can't even. You said that then.
You remember that story of that man who he wasn't even in the military, but he showed up at all the functions in the balls with Sergeant Major outfit on, and just so happened somebody just happened to look at his awards, and one of his awards was wrong on his jacket, and from right then to right there, that's when everything stopped for him.
Yep, I remember.
Yeah, he was doing that for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was doing that for a while.
Can you believe that?
Go to show just how many people pay attention. Just how many people don't pay attention to anything.
Right.
All right, let's get to the topic of the day. Okay. Lord have mercy. Convicted felons, should they be given another chance? I guess first thing we need to find out is what is a felony conviction? What is that? I think that's what Aaron Hernandez just got. Well, it's going to get. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that one. Okay, look, it's a felony conviction. It is a severe punishment that one is sentenced to if they are found guilty of a serious crime. Oftentimes, the crime involves violence and is regarded as more serious than a misdemeanor. Examples of crimes that would result in a felony conviction are murder and burglary. Breaking into somebody's damn house. Let's go put it out there.
Breaking and entering.
Yeah.
Breaking
and entering. I guess if you do it enough times, yeah. So, should convicted felons be given another chance? And if so, is there a certain age to where they should be given another chance, or should the felony happen at a certain part of their life to where once they get out, they should be given another chance? Or should they never be given another chance? Hell, they did the crime, they need to do the time, and when they get out, it is what it is. What you think? Go ahead, Goofy. Mm-hmm. Load and drop.
To be honest with you, I believe someone does deserve another chance. Now, if you fuck up after that chance, you just forget about your life. You know what I mean? I mean, everyone does some fucked up shit. But, you know, it depends on, I would say, the nature of the crime. Now, if you went out there and killed a couple of kids and decided, you know, you only got 7 years and you did all your seven, you know, I'm not going to, you know, want you to work for me. You know what I mean? It depends. You know what I mean? Like, say, for instance, you know, some guy was poor.
Wouldn't that be saying, like, discrimination then?
Well, I don't know. Erica, would you want to have somebody work for you that you know?
Wait a minute, don't
like,
push it back on me, because you just said, Goofy, you just said. And
as a human being, I would not work with somebody that had that thought of even destroying innocent lives. If I found out somebody, you know, see, this is how different I am, Eric, because I'm one of those people that challenge
what
out
if,
the world, but then, yeah, I'll destroy
this
it
at, a, younger
at
age.
A touch of a button.
What if this happened at the age when they were like 17 or 18 years old? They just made an honest mistake. They were with the wrong crowd. Then what? You still don't want to hire them? You still don't want to work with them?
I can't work with people who destroy children. I just cannot. Just sickens
so
me.
So then there's a limit to the chances you would give someone then who's been convicted of a felony.
Well, yeah. Racist,
yeah.
I hate.
Uh-huh.
Child molesters, I hate.
Mm-hmm.
People who kill kids. People who murder innocent people. Now, those people need to fucking vanish off the face of this earth.
But what if they... What if they have done their time, right, and they have honestly made a change? You're not giving them a chance then, Goofy, because you just, you know, like, no.
Then I'm
not.
Then I'm not, Mr. Talk. Then I'm not.
Okay,
but
then,
I do believe,
then what you doing? What,
I do
what
believe
options
that
are you giving them?
Somebody does
then?
Deserve an extra chance, but it might not be for me, but you deserve an extra chance.
Oh, don't do as I do as I say. Right?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir.
That is bull crap, Goofy. Come on now. Come on now. You got to be better than that. Come on.
Yeah, you know what? You know, for real, Mr. Todd, I hate child molesters and people that kill kids. You know, when I was little, I had a neighbor, she was like down the street, but I used to play with her in the neighborhood and stuff, and somebody took her. And later on, they found out she was raped and, you know, they sliced her up and all this shit. And forever and a day, that will always, you know, haunt me. Because she was my friend, you know what I mean? As little kids. You know, we didn't know what right was wrong. We were just little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Okay,
I just have vengeance for that. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're going off basically personal experience then.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that. You know, in that case, I kind of understand the way you're thinking somewhat. But okay.
Like I said, Mr. Talk, I'm a person that loves the world, but yet I'll destroy the world at a touch of a button.
Really?
Because that's how I am.
Really? Wow. You really? Know, there was a survey done a couple of years ago, and it was proven that employees will hire white felons before they hire black applicants without any felonies or any kind of criminal record. What is really up with that?
That's racism right there.
Racism?
Racism.
We don't have racism in this country. That is a myth.
Shit. That right there is racism. If you're picking out people because of their skin color, regardless of what they have on their jacket, you know what I mean? It's okay. But yeah, you have the blacks, the Asians, and the Mexicans, and whatever, you know, the question marks. You have all those other minorities trying, just because of the way they look, trying to get somewhere in life. But because of your stupid thought because thinking that one certain color of a skin is, regardless of what they have on them, is better than you, right there, that's racism. I'm sorry. Nothing you can fucking say about that. It's not judgmental. It's racism. Because you're already picking on the minorities, regardless if they have nothing. But yet, white felon, shit. Murdered somebody, raped her, scared 7 years, comes out, does his time, you know, he changed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he changed.
Because he's white.
Oh, okay.
So they hired him.
So they hired him?
No, that's how they're thinking. That's how they're thinking, not me.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, Goofy. I'm with you. I am with
you.
I'm not.
Right, I'm hungover. I'm sweating like a motherfucker, and I need to smoke a blunt. So I'm going to step away right now.
You're going to step away?
Yeah.
All right. Go on and get your head right. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, Goofy has stepped away. Oh, what's up, Into Knowledge? He's out in the chat room. Let's see. Who else didn't join us in the chat room? I said hello to Benny. Okay. Anyway, well, since Lois dropped, I guess he got fed up, and Goofy is on me. And y'all know what, though? Look, I feel...
I'm sorry, Mr. Jack. I don't mean to leave you by yourself. I got Lady and Lois still there.
No, you good. You good. Go on and smoke your blunt. Boy, I can't say that too loud. But anyway,
I'm telling you, Mr.
Look.
John, sometimes I just get, you know, boiled up and shit. So I thank God for punching bags, man. Seriously. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the kind that don't breathe. I agree with you. I agree with you, Goofy. Look, you know what? I think my beliefs are that a felon, convicted felon, if he committed something as a child, you know, granted, you know, he didn't do any horrendous stuff, but if he committed something simple as a child, then yeah, I think he deserves another chance. You know, there's some cases where some convicted felons were wrongly convicted, you know, wrongly accused, and they ended up in prison. You know, that happened back in the day, and they just getting out. So, yes, they deserve another chance also. But why, people, why do we find that so hard to give people like that another chance? Are we so scared? Are we scared that they may actually go back and do something or do something to us and betray our trust that we put in them? I mean, just some things to think of, right? Right. Okay, we got two lines coming open now. All right.
Oh, well,
on,
Mr. Talk.
What, Goofy?
I'm sorry. Go ahead and introduce them. I wanted to talk to you about that.
Okay. There's Renee on the line, and we got Into Knowledge. What's going on, individuals? How y'all doing today?
What's
good,
going on, distinguished guests?
Glad to see y'all can join. Go ahead, Goofy. You said you wanted to say something.
Yeah, you know, people that come out of jail. You know, my friend, I have, you know, a lot of. I've gone to jail, but you know, I haven't got caught for anything serious. But you know, my friends, you know, some of them are felons, and they always seem to tell me that, you know, whenever they get a job, that person, they always tell them that, hey, I put my trust in you, or I'm putting, you know, a lot into you. You know, all I ask for is the same back. And that little saying always gets them so motivated to do, you know, good for that, you know, person that gave them that, you know, that job or whatever.
Wouldn't that kind of do the opposite, really? You know, like, okay, why you have to tell me that? You know, just show me you put your trust in me.
Well,
shit, I mean, why you got to tell me that?
The world failed on them. I mean, you know, that they failed in the world. And, you know, a lot of people, they get down and whatever crime they did, you know, some of them, they come out feeling like failures. You know what I mean? They feel low and, you know, they want to be, you know, back up. And when somebody could, you know, give them an opportunity and tell them, hey, you know what, I got my trust in you, man. You know, just don't let me down. You know, just that little, you know, stepping stone, that could work wonders for, you know, somebody, say a felon that, you know, thought everybody gave up on him. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. Knowledge, Renee, y'all have anything to add to that?
Ladies first.
Well, thank you. I think in society today, we have different classes, just like you had when you were in high school. You have different types of people that make up this whole country. But we are not a forgiving people. We don't forgive very easily. You remember, our memories are very, very long. And when you come out of jail, imagine, when you went in jail, things were a lot different than when you come out. And you have to reacclimate yourself to society once again and reacclimate yourself to just the working community. And so you're coming from an environment that's been controlled for you into a society where you are, in essence, a free man. And what you choose to do with your freedom is left up to you. But the options are very few. Because we do not forgive very easily, we are less likely to hire someone who's been in jail as a felon. Now, we may be a little more lenient if I was somebody who's just a misdemeanor, but with a felony, that's a mark on your books for life. So we don't even want to know what you did. We just hear that you're a felon and that's it. It could have been something minor, but we just don't want to hear what it is about. Now, that is not the right thing to do, because I think everybody deserves a second chance. But when you have career felons, people that have been in jail for the same thing over and over and over again, that person has not been rehabilitated. That person does not want to be rehabilitated. And you cannot take a chance on a person like that because of their character. So I think everybody is entitled to a second chance, but it's how you take that second chance which can dictate the rest of your life.
Wow. That was deep, Renee. That was very profound. I like that.
once again, Mr. Talk, great topic. I'm going to come from a different angle in this discussion.
Okay.
First of all, there's a reason why we call it the prison industrial complex. Prisons are, not only are they institutions, they are an economic base. Over the years, what we've done is, and when I say we, the country, I don't mean us, the general public, prisons have been privatized. So basically, when we're talking about a felon, just like what Renee was saying in terms of life-changing, you figure a felon is going to do a minimum of probably about 5 years. So, yeah, a lot is going to change from the time that you went in until the time that you come out. Now, when you get stamped with that felon tag, no matter where you go to work, that's on the application. And you can lie about it, but it's just like when they run your driver's license. If it's been suspended, you know, you're going to get flagged. So what it does is it perpetuates recidivism, because what we don't do is we don't allow them to get back in the system and say that they've learned their lesson, give them an opportunity to actually turn their life around. What we encourage them to do is, by denying them economically, we actually encourage them to go out and repeat what they just did before. And the reason why is because for the cost for keeping somebody in prison a year is between $30,000 and $40,000 a year.
Yes. Yes.
That will get you $30,000 to $40,000 a year will get you in any major college institution in this country. But they won't give you the money to go. Now, people have to think about this type of twisted psychology. You would rather charge the taxpayer $30,000 to $40,000 per year per inmate as opposed to, hey, let's charge the taxpayer that same amount to send this guy to Stanford or to send him to UC Berkeley or to send him to Harvard or to send him here, there, whatever the case may be, so that they can actually learn something and get back out into society and function in a proper way. And when you look at our prisons today, man, the prisons today, they build computers. They have a whole economic infrastructure in the prison industrial complex. You remember back in the day, it used to be press and license plates.
Right.
It's not that anymore. They're doing high-tech work. They're doing work that people out here are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to get paid to do. And they're doing it for pennies on the dollar. It's a modern-day slavery free market enterprise. That's all I wanted to add.
You know, interesting, because somebody sent me something, and it said that the word felon now is considered the new N-word. You know, once you have that the word felon, all old Jim Crow laws and discrimination is suddenly legal. Once you say, you know, I am a felon, you know, you just setting yourself up for discrimination all the way around.
Everywhere you turn.
You know. Okay,
I think we also have to look in the society that prisons are still full of African-American young men who are never going to get the opportunity to learn something different about how to handle themselves in mainstream society. And that's where the African-American, I always say this, the family has fallen short, because we don't take a proactive approach to teaching our young men how to be men. We don't have, you know, you hear about Oprah Winfrey having the girls' school, and you hear about her having all of these activities for the girls. But, you know, our young men have been lost for decades, and nobody has stepped up to the plate and said, hey, somebody needs to take charge of our black young men. Get them out of prison system. Get them educated. Help them to understand what their role in this society is all about. And until somebody can recognize, I mean, we have this Jasmine, sure, he's out there, you know, Rainbow Coalition and all that. We have a lot of African-American leaders, but we don't have a lot of those African-Americans taking an active role in our community and building up our black young boys. So they get to be castaways. And when you become a castaway, you don't have a nation supporting you, then you are looked upon a little differently. And we need to fix that. It needs to be fixed.
Is that Renee?
Yes, that's Renee.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew a powerful woman when I heard her voice. But what I want to say on that is prison, they only teach, you know, high school. And, you know, that's it. You know, you get your high school education. What else do you do? Nothing. They don't have no programs to prepare you to get, you know, outside of the prison system. The rehabilitation, you know what I mean? They don't have nothing. And it's sad how I think it's like 70% of people who get out of prison go back in. And it's sad how that works, but, I mean, people have brains. God gave us, or whoever you guys believe in out there, gave us a brain. And the only thing that we could do to better ourselves is use that brain and figure out how we can better ourselves. But nobody wants to take the time or effort to do that. And it's just a simple thought. That's how easy it is. And it sucks. But, hey, I'm just a Mexican who smokes weed all day and sits on my ass, so don't listen to me.
Oh, boy, I tell you, that damn Goofy.
Ooh, Goofy with the comic relief.
Wow.
But you know what?
Go ahead. I was just going to say in regards to what Renee was saying and what Goofy was saying, in terms of Renee and what she was saying about black boys, that's very true. And the real sad part about it is that in the black community, we have the resources to change this around. There was a time when we didn't have it. We have it now. And like she said, nobody's doing it. You got people like Oprah, okay, and I don't even want to get on Oprah. I don't understand why you go to Africa to build a girls' school and didn't build one in Chicago, which is where you're from. But that's another story. I digress. At least you did it. But with, you know, like with our entertainment industry, our sports figures, you know, we got to listen to all these brothers and sisters making this just what my buddy used to call this vulgar display of wealth. And all they do is just add on to it. And the ones who actually do something, they don't have the wealth, but they have the love of their people that's the driving force for what they're doing. And then just to piggyback on what Goofy was saying, in terms of 70% who go in and come out, go back in, that just goes back to the recidivism. The prisons are not designed to rehabilitate. That's not what they're designed to do. They're just designed to house people, and then they figured out a way to just start capitalizing on it and making money. So it's just this vicious cycle, because the fact of the matter is, when you statistically, yeah, we're disproportionate in the prison system. However, there are more black men in college than there are in prison.
Prison, right. Yeah.
And that needs to be understood. Even though we are completely overrepresented just based on our sheer numbers. We only make up 12% of the population, but we make up, what, 60-something percent of the prison population? And a lot of it is not even serious crimes.
And that's the key. Yeah, that is the key. None of it's just simple possession, just little drug stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
What I think we need to understand also, you know, I have all boys, and I always taught my boys, you know, you make your choices in life. And when you make your choice, you can make a positive choice or a negative choice. But you can guarantee whatever choice you make, there is going to be a repercussion for whatever it is, maybe positive or negative. And we made an attempt to guide our children through life. As they go, and they're all grown and married and getting married and, you know, having their own family. But you go through life supporting your children no matter what they do. And I always told my boys, hey, you make a choice. If you end up in jail, don't be calling here talking about can you bail me out. I set the line. Because I ain't coming down to bail you out. You will sit your butt right there in jail. So, you know, I drew the line, and the line has never been crossed. I think one of my boys got arrested, and that was it. And he sat there, and he told me that was the worst experience he ever wanted to spend in his whole life, and it's never happened again. So, you know, I think if you set as a family, as a parent, you set a line that says you cannot cross this line, this is unacceptable behavior, then they choose not to cross it, that's their choice. But if they choose to, you have to be a strong enough parent to say, hey, I am not going to bail you out. This is the way it's going to be, and I'm not going to handle it. You're going to handle it on your own. And it was not a major thing. It was a traffic violation. But still, he knew. Mom's not playing. So I think we don't give our children these guidelines and say it's okay. We baby them. We tell them, oh, my son would never do that. Look, you got to be real. You got to be real with your kids. You got to be real with yourself and say, hey, my kid can do anything any other kid can do. And my kid can be one of those kids in prison right now. So you have to draw the bottom line.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Let me bring Renee. I mean, not Renee. My goodness. Let me bring Miss Lady in, and we're gonna bring Big Chris in.
Yeah, I've been listening for. Hi. I had to get off, but I've been listening for about 12 minutes, and everybody's made some great points. In terms of Oprah, I remember her saying, you know, she wants a successful outcome, and she's going to invest that kind of money into any kind of project. So supposedly, she knows she's going to have a lot of success going to Africa. Because if you look at the Africans that come here, they are driven to succeed. I know so many Africans
with higher levels of education. They are old businesses. They are not. They are on their grind. They own. They might have two and three little businesses they're trying to work. So she knows that. She said that when she asked American children, you know, what they wanted before she went to Africa, she told them she had money, and she asked them what would they like her to fund. Not one person said education or a book. She said that they asked for expensive tennis shoes and I think iPods at the time.
Why did she take the time then to explain to them what they were doing?
I don't know all of the circumstances. I'm just recalling what I remember some years ago. And she asked the African children what they wanted. They asked for iPods and expensive LeBron shoes or whatever the shoes were out, maybe Kobe shoes or whoever, Michael Jordan. They wanted an education. So I understand exactly why she did it. She knows she's going to be successful there. There's going to be some fall off, but for the majority of those girls, they know education is their way out. They know performing well under Oprah's tutelage and within her school is going to time them to be very successful in life. She knew that wasn't necessarily going to happen here. Not necessarily because the kids have been too brainwashed to want too much materialism. You know, that and secondly, I think it's going to take men to stand up to guide these boys. Don't look to Oprah to do it. There needs to be enough wealthy black men in this country to put together a school here if they want to, an institute if they want to, whatever they want to do, to open it up for African-American boys. But I won't hold my breath.
And I did say that, Miss Lady. But however, when you're talking about this Oprah stuff, you know, her school, they were talking about child molestation in the school. This isn't all girls.
Well, I don't
school.
Know all the facts, but that goes on at every school. Every time you pick it up a paper, it's somebody, a woman molesting. Oh my goodness, men molesting children. It's just
Lady. But Renee, you're not, or is it Miss Lady? Is that Miss Lady?
That's Miss Lady.
Yeah, but you're not realizing that's Oprah. That's not supposed to happen at Oprah school.
People. Oprah is just not living everybody's skin. She's over here. So you cannot hold her accountable for a lot of stuff that goes. Listen,
yes, you can, because she's the one that's in charge of that
family.
Shit.
It goes on in people's families all day and night.
Miss Lane, go ahead, Renee. Go ahead.
Now, I don't want to jump on the Oprah bandwagon or the Oprah trip, but the whole purpose, I understand why Oprah opened the school in Africa. And to knowledge, I was going to say this to you earlier, I understand why she opened the school, because women in Africa are treated like fourth-class, fifth-class citizens, and they don't have the opportunities that young boys do in Africa. I completely get that. I am so glad that she took the opportunity to open a school for girls in Africa, because it was needed there, okay? But it's also needed here. But that's setting that aside. Why couldn't she have opened a girls' school and a boys' school? And why didn't someone come along? Wait a minute. Let me finish. Don't cut me off, okay? I understand that there's a war going on over there, and they are kidnapping young black boys, and they're putting them in the militia to help them to be whatever, to push their causes. That's all good and well, but they are in just as dire need as the girls are, and the families are. It's very deprived, poor country. And it's our country, but we need to look at home first. She lives in Chicago.
Alan Iverson made $300 million. And what has he done for any black boy? You know what? I'm tired of people looking into Oprah because she did something good for girls. Oh,
I agree with you.
You know
no, I'm agreeing with you, ma'am.
They need to stand up and pick up that flag and do what they have to do.
Yeah,
Every celebrity goes to a foreign land and try to help people so they can get a little bit of credit from the humanitarians out there. Let me tell you something. Oprah didn't give a shit about what happened at her school. She didn't even care. If she did, you know, maybe she would have done something outrageous to, you know, build another school or something like that.
Okay, hold on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look. Okay, we understand. Oprah opened a school in Africa, okay? We understand that. All right. Miss Lady saying that was a good thing. Renee agreed with her. That was a good thing. But I also agree with Renee and to the fact that I think she should have opened something here. You know, whether they just
also
to teach the...
Wait a minute.
All right, now. But today's topic is, would you give a convicted felon a second chance? Now, I don't know how many convicted felons Oprah done gave another chance besides having them on her show. That's all I can tell you. So we're going to move on.
That's
we're
a different
leave
issue.
Oprah alone.
But you know what Mark Zimmerman did, Men's Warehouse, he said everybody deserves a second chance. He hired a lot of them. And you see what they finally got rid of him. People say they got rid of him.
Let me tell you why they got rid of him.
Okay?
He was a spokesperson. He was the one that created that business. He did all what needs to be done. But see, once it goes public, there's a lot of people involved. Now, the man, what he did was try to go behind the board of directors and try to regain. Meaning he tried to get people to sign in and say, hey, I'm going to take over this company. Forget those people. That's why they got rid of him. Because he tried to go beyond the board's back to try to regain the company. And it's business, but hey, you can't do that, regardless of who the fuck you are. Seriously.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know all the details. I just know he did start the company, and he hired a lot of ex-prisoners, which is commendable, and gave them, he believed they all deserved a second chance, and that was, I thought, was the issue.
All right.
No, I totally believe in second chances. But I believe that you make your own, you decide on which path you're going to take. Look, you can give anybody a second chance, but they may not do what they need to do to be successful. And you would like them to be successful, but the odds are stacked against them for being successful.
And there lies the rub. They come out and the odds are against them. It wasn't there supposed to be some program that the government was supposed to start to help integrate them back into the real life, real world situations? Or was that just
they're making too much money. I have them come back. They're making too much money off of free labor.
Yeah, I don't agree with you. They have so many programs, but I don't even think nobody's using them. Seriously.
Nobody's using them?
Nuh-uh.
Why?
What are you talking about? They're manufacturing all kinds of
the programs that are out there trying to help rehabilitate these people.
Oh, no, they ain't funding that. They're not funding that like they were in the past. That's over. Just like affirmative action.
Okay. So basically, once they come out, if somebody just don't have a good heart, you know, or think, you know, they just out there on their own, which means...
Well, I don't
they
know
would,
what probation officers do. Don't they help them try to find jobs? I don't know what they do.
They collect money.
Yeah.
They collect money.
They pimp.
Yeah,
they
I'm going to say. Yeah.
I know from experience. They collect money.
Probation officer's job is just really to be a policeman. To make sure that you are doing what you need to be doing when you need to be doing it. Make sure you're checking in. And make sure you're looking for a job. They don't help them to get any job. They might help you get into a halfway house or something like that, but they're not going to help you get a job. You got to get out there and count the payment yourself.
Exactly. And then, at the end of your visit, oh, by the way, before you leave, please pay the clerk on your way out. That's how that works.
I don't.
Thank you.
You
forgot thank you.
What are they paying the clerk for?
If you have to see a probation officer, number one, you've already had to pay a fine. Every time you go to see a PO, you have to pay. It's mandated. You have to pay.
Yes.
Oh my
God.
I had to leave my job once a week, and I love the fact that my job let me do that only because of the way that I was performing. Once a month, I had to leave my job to go see a PO. And guess what happened when I went to go see the PO? I sign my name in at the front desk. I sit in a chair. I wait. He calls me in the office, and then he asks me, well, okay, what time is good for you next month? And then I let him know, and then that was the end of the conversation. I had to give up my $100 on my way out the door. This was once a month.
Don't forget the drug test. Got to take a drug test once a month. Let me tell you something.
If you guys want to get out of a ticket or a fine or anything, when they start adding all these assessments, ask each what is each one of those assessments, what do they represent, and why am I paying them? And I get if the judge is not on game, he'll look at you with like a deer in the headlight look, and he'll like dismiss you. Seriously, I've done it twice. But one, I had to pay because the motherfucker was on his game, but. Seriously. You ask them, seriously. You say, well, why am I paying an extra da-da-da-da-da-da? You know what I mean? Because they say, like, in the state of California, like, if you talk on your phone, it's a $159 ticket. But in the end, you're, like, paying, like, $575 for all those little assessments and all that other little crap. But always challenge the judge. Because the judges, they don't know nothing. They're just there sitting in there just, you know, okay, well, let me look at the paperwork. He just, you know, skims. He don't even read anything. Okay, well, you know, you just got to pay a fine, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? People don't understand that.
Okay.
Challenge
your Eric, so what is this show really about today? What's the topic?
That's Chris. What's happening, Chris? I forgot Chris was on the line. Convicted felons, do they deserve a second chance?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's straight to the point. They should have more positive programs and opportunities as far as even the probation officers, I think, should help them. I've heard of probation officers helping people, you know, get back on their feet. Now, it might be an individual thing that some people are going through. That person don't. I guess when probation officers help out people, that's a choice that they can or can't do. But I've heard a lot of probation officers get out in the community and start programs, hiring and helping people get on their feet, housing, even putting money in their pockets. So as far as walking up to see a probation officer and signing in and paying, I've never heard that before. I think that's just for, drug testers plenty of times, but never heard of paying to see somebody. I think that's probably just an individual situation now.
No, it's not.
I think for everybody, I didn't quite hear you say everybody has to do it or it's a law.
I didn't say everybody, but what I was saying was that's a standard operating procedure.
But I haven't heard.
Hey, was that in California?
No, Chris is in. I think Chris, you're in Illinois.
Right. I never heard that before. People paying to see them. It's probably an individual thing based on their record or what they did. They have to pay. But
knowledge, was that in California?
No, I'm here in Georgia.
Right.
Okay. I'm in Texas.
I mean, I heard people drop drug tests every now and then, and that depends on what they did. If they had a probation officer, everybody don't drop drug tests if they have a probation officer.
It depends on the crime. It depends on what you got locked up for or whatever your citation was for. In terms of the drug test. Like if you get it, like my partner, he got busted because he drinks a lot and he was going to his mother's house. He left his car running, and these two youngsters came and took his car, and he licensed to carry a gun, and he shot his own car up because he had been drinking. So when he had to go see the PO, even though he doesn't smoke weed, he had to take a drug test because of what he did, and he was under the influence.
Hmm.
And my job puts me in the unique position of getting to know probation officers very well. So I have heard many of stories from probation officers that are overworked, underpaid, and they really don't care because they're shuffling in like cattle because they have to see so many in a day.
Yep.
So, you know, they have a quarter to make. And then you have some knucklehead that comes in there, and he comes in drunk or he comes in high. And I mean, you have to revoke his probation and put him right back in the tremor. So, you know, I think my job is unique in the fact that we can have these conversations and I get to hear all the dirt without actually knowing the person who they're talking about. And it just amazes me because you as a probation officer, you're doing a job for the state, but you are just like a social worker. You have to babysit these people. They don't want to go and get rehabilitated because they're too busy doing the things that got them caught in the first place. Or they're out past curfew, and then you get a 3 a.m. call, and you have to stop what you're doing, which is sleeping, and call the police department and have them picked up. I mean, it's simple things like that. That is a game that they're running. And so you do have those few that want to be rehabilitated, but they're few and far in between. They just want to get the next hustle. They just want to get the free this. They just want to do what they have to do to get the money to wherever they have to go. And I think that's where the system is broken right there. We don't make them do the things that they need to do to be successful.
Okay, so in that case, then, we shouldn't even give them a second chance then, right?
Because I don't understand. I don't understand pretty much everything she said, but I know there's some good probation officers out here that is doing far and beyond and stepping out what they're supposed to do. As far as mm-hmm. I'm concerned, I'm some shady probation officers. Feel sorry for what they do. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. Their job. You know, you got 100 people to look at that day. Do your job. You know, stop crying about it.
But the question is, are they really doing their job, Chris, or are they just perpetrating? Hold on. Let me bring Ebony in. Ebony.
Hi, guys.
How you doing today?
Hiya. I'm okay.
Oh,
I'm good.
Oh, my God, Ebony.
Kryptonite.
No, everyone, can I say, Ebony, I'm sorry I wasn't there to accept your goodbye, but I had to fly. But I appreciate
you
thinking of me.
That's okay. I swear.
When I heard the archive, my heart melted. I swear to God it did because you thought of me. I was like, wow.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry.
Here we go. Here we go.
Can I just compliment the woman, please?
Yeah, well, you not compliment. You slobbing.
Uh-oh. Yeah, he's slobbing.
You slobbing. You're not complimenting.
Hey,
right,
you know what, Mr. Talk? I was on Perry's show last night. And our old friend Michael, he IM'd me in the chat room, and he went off on me saying that, oh, I thought you were on my side. How could you abandon me and, you know, leave me out to dry and out of that? I was like, man, get the hell out of my face. Seriously.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
you act like we pushed you outside the door. You did it to your damn self. For real.
Oh.
Okay. We're going to leave you where
you
are.
I'm not going to fight or anything, but I just wanted to throw that out there, man. I thought that was childish and stupid. It's bad enough I got my own people I fight with. Now I got to add others. Terrible, man. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, let them stay on Perry's show doing
dear.
It, okay?
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, what you got on the night?
I want to say something about the Slims, okay? I got a friend who works in the U.S., and one of the things that he told me was that there are a lot of men, particularly black men, in halfway houses, okay? When they come out of jail, I don't know if this is right. You guys can tell me, you know, if it was. This is his experience. There are a lot of men, particularly black men, in halfway houses who can't go back to their communities because they can't be found to be mixing with people from their criminal background.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means they can't go back to their families either. You know, they're stuck in these halfway houses on curfews and all the rest of it. But it doesn't. There doesn't seem to be any, you know, reasons why they, you know, they have this system where people cannot seem to, you know, if you've got a wife back home, you can't, when you come out of jail, you can't go back and have a proper relationship because, you know, you haven't yet finished, well, you're supposed to be have finished your sentence, but technically you're still in jail until your probation is completely over. You know, that's got to be affecting a number of people with families, right, who are trying to rehabilitate. How do you rehabilitate people if you have them in halfway houses? How does that work? And you, what kind of rehabilitation is there in the U.S. for felons?
Anybody?
There is no rehabilitation in the United States for felons. And that's the good part about this show is because we start to recognize that in spite of what had precipitated whatever event that got a person a felony, even if they're the type of individual that says to themselves, okay, I can't do this again. Jail is not cool. Because to most of us, to any sentient being, if you go to jail, you realize the moment they process you, this is not good. This is not something I want to do. This is not a place I want to come back to. This is not something I even want to be involved in. Now, when you get stamped with that felony, okay, that's the albatross around your neck because you, that's something you can never get rid of. If you have a misdemeanor, that can get expunged. That can get taken off your record to where if they even run a, you know, if they run something on you, it won't even show up. That's felony. If you're a felon at 16, that's going to show up when you're 85, depending on what you're applying for or what you're doing. So in regards to what you're saying, Ebony, with the halfway houses and all of that, yeah, it presents a huge problem because it puts them in sort of a cycle that is very difficult to get out. And like Chris was saying, you have to have that particular PO who takes that interest in you, who connects with you and says, hey, check this out. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you get on your feet. That's the exception. That's not the norm.
Right.
And that's all I wanted to say about that. It's not the norm.
And that's a major problem. Maybe that's the reason why we have so many black men in the system. The system doesn't allow those men out of a way out, right? Then you're always going to have that situation where you've got a circular problem. People go into the system, but there is never a way out, you know. And then we worry about the number of our black men who are not on the streets and available to black women. Well, maybe that's where they all are.
I want to ask something because, I mean, I do several shows and I'm on Facebook with groups like this and everything. Whenever, I've just noticed something, I'm not really asking, but I've noticed something. Whenever convicted or felon is brought up, it's always connected to the black one. Only when you look at the prison numbers, which I've done because I do it all the time from 1990, 2000 to 15 minutes ago, there are more white men on death row with life sentences than there are black men. But the black man is always pointed as the convicted felon, and there is the problem why society is doing so bad. When there are more white men in prison than black men, and more black men graduating from universities than white men. That's just something I just noticed. That's all. This just me, you know.
But we did talk about that. We did talk about that, Chris, before you came on.
That out though. It's always convicted felon. Okay, see what's wrong with the black man is wait, hold on. How about just because see the show wasn't why are black men should black men have a second chance if they're a felon? He just asked should convicted felons.
Right.
Right.
I'm just noticing that. That's all. I'm just saying
that, you know, I think it's known that you're overrepresented. Black men are overrepresented in the prison system compared to the numbers of black men in the country. Then, you know, there's an overrepresentation in the system. That's the same in the UK, actually. Right. So So, you know, that isn't by chance. That isn't by accident. We can overlook at it and say, well, you know, there are lots of whites in there. But in compared to the number of whites in your country, there's an overrepresentation. There's less whites in the system in comparison to the numbers. And that's the problem. There are less of us, but there are more of us in the prison system. Why is that?
No, this is not true. Are you just saying that on something you know? Or something
no, according to
heard,
the figures, like, according to the figures, okay, looking at the numbers of black men in the U.S., and this is the same for the U.K., I actually need to look it up on my computer so I can give you the exact stats, that we are overrepresented in the prison system. We're overrepresented in the prison system, and it's known. And that's the reason why a lot of people have been complaining for years that there is something going on in terms of, like, the number of people that get locked up for crimes. Why are so many black men, you know, locked up for sometimes very, juvenile or petty crimes, but they're in the system? And once you're in the system, you kind of get stuck in the system.
Totally agree.
I'm not going to paint a pretty picture about it, Ms. Emily. That's just the way it is, and that's what the shit they serving for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They don't want black men to succeed, but that should not be a they, meaning society or the system that put them that way, but that should not be an excuse or be comfortable with a reason for black men to stay in that situation. I'm aware of it and they're aware of it. Hey, I'm locked up, man, for the last 18 years, and I didn't even do nothing. You there for a reason. Of course you didn't do it. It's a lot of black men in prison today that are doing some serious time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris, let me ask you a question. Chris, do you think that it's society that keeps African-American men in prison, or do you think it's the breakdown of the family that keeps African-Americans in prison?
Well, the society is the family. Okay, who is teaching the family to live a certain way? Society. So it's just, I'm saying it's society, but the family does not have to fall victim under those regulations or what they're supposed to be doing or anything like that. So,
Well, I mean, I agree with you in some instances, but in the other case, I would like to say, you know, we as people make choices. Do you not think that our choice that we made by putting us in the prison system can give us the same choices to not be put in the prison system?
Well, according to the Constitution, we don't have too many choices. It says freedom of speech, but how much freedom do we really have? Or, you know, a fair trial? Not much. You know, it's really according to the skin color, the way I see it, in certain things. You have more benefits if you live in a certain community, you know, you get a fair trial and you get treated a little bit better. Just look at the Trayvon trial. If that was me who shot him, I would have been locked up.
True. Well, into knowledge, what do you think?
I have a tendency to agree with you. I mean, it's kind of hard to get away from the importance of family. And what America has done over the last 20 to 30 years is it has systematically deconstructed the family across the board. Now, I think it affects the black community on a much higher level because of the fact that, number one, 70% of our children are in single-parent homes, whether that be male or female. So we don't have that fabric. We don't have that connection that allows us to fight through the systemic things that go on in the society. We're at a huge disadvantage in that regard. And here's another statistic. 70% of black women who are marriage eligible are single in this country. 70%. That's a huge disproportionate number. And what that's telling me is that with this deconstruction of the family, and one thing that I learned when I took a race and public policy class at UC Berkeley was that I learned how public policy in this country is always determined by what goes on in the black community. That's how we determine public policy. It doesn't matter what it is. Black people are always used as the litmus test for the direction that legislation is going to go. So I completely agree with you in that regard. I mean, I understand what Chris is saying in terms of, you know, the family being synonymous with community, but when you, our community is broken down. Why is our community broken down? Because they got rid of the nuclear family. When we went from industrial age to post-industrial age to the information technology age, we took the family out of the program. When I was a child, all the programs that I watched on TV had a mother and a father. When you look at the TV programs, look at what kids are growing up with today. It's fashionable just for it to be your mom, or if you're fortunate enough, and that's an unfortunate enough situation where it's your dad and your mom's not even involved. So it's just like, I mean, it's like choosing the bad from the ugly. It's
so
a
you're
hard
blaming
place to
Murphy
go.
Brown.
No, I don't think he's blaming. I think the society today, we look at, just in general, if we're looking at felons in general, we have to take the big picture of the whole situation. And that is, when you make the choice to get yourself put in prison, then you have started a chain reaction of things that will happen for decades. And we are now seeing the turn in the fact that families have broken down to nothing because the male role model who was supposed to be back in the 50s and the 60s, you know, men were strong black men. They handled their families. And now you look at it today and you can see that families are broken apart. You have mixed different types of families together to make a nucleus. And it's not always working in a positive for our children. And this, the children of today are our future. So we're looking at the breakdown of the African-American family in general. We're looking at the breakdown of the things because they made a choice. And they thought it just would affect them, but it's now affected. It's a trickle-down theory. It has affected several different generations of incomplete families trying to make it. And society is not working for us, they're working against us. Because you're right, when a felon goes to get a job, he's looked upon as got a mark across him, so now what do? He can't get a job, he can't do anything that he needs to be doing, but he goes back to the life that he knew, which was successful, because you got to put food on the table. And if you got to put food on the table, you have to do what you have to do. And that's what Goofy, you know, he says, you know, hey, I'm a gangster, hey, I've done things I'm not proud of. And that's where that falls into the place. So we have to realize that it's a trickle-down theory and that when society breaks down in one group, it then needs to pick up the pace in another group. What do you say
totally
to that?
Totally agree.
I
can't really say I agree because I'll have to, when I'm going to stop saying that, you know, I agree if I don't agree with one thing, and it's one thing, so I can't agree with everything she said. He was mentioning that the problem with the family today is that there is no male in the household to be in the household, something like that. And
no.
Overall,
for a lot, 70% of black kids are raised by single parents. They're primarily women.
Black men want to be the providers. Men want to be providers in the household with the woman and the family. But society has designed it that way today for that not to happen. There are more programs out here. Listen to me. There are more programs out here for women who are single than a woman being with a man. This is the truth. Ignore it. Look it up. If a woman is with a man before she is single, she had all these programs, those programs will be taken away. It is better for a woman to stay by her damn self than to be with a man. And that's the way it is.
Well,
that's
these men
this
you're
is
talking
true.
About, they're functioning members of society with jobs who want
this
to take
true.
Care of their children
and
who are upstanding citizens. Is that what you're saying? Both these men? Because I don't see it.
It's, you know what, why you don't see it is because it's not my fault, it's not any other man's fault on this phone, it's most likely, look at your environment. Look at your thinking. You
well,
see,
I'm just saying, you're making these claims. I'm like, where are these so-called men that are working and upstanding citizens and would be great fathers for their children? Where are they?
Wait a minute, Miss Lady. There are men out there.
I'm just saying, a lot of them. Listen,
take off the blinds.
Let her speak. Hold on.
All right. Everybody can't talk at one time.
Hold on.
Yeah, this is a massacre here.
Go ahead and finish this, lady.
And clearly, because she's not seeing clearly, she can't just say, or anybody in that matter, put what's going on in their environment, saying, well, that's the way it is all over the world.
Maybe that's an ignorance because what she's not recognizing that it's for the last kind of 42 years or more, there's been a war on the black community, right?
It started a long time ago, right?
And there's a reason why everything happened, okay? And you can, you know, the view that you're giving is a very...
We addressed that in the beginning of the conversation.
No, we did.
We've addressed... Everybody's very clear about the issues here.
We didn't address that. We did in the beginning of the conversation.
So, Ebony, what you were saying is correct. There is a war going on. Okay, but some will die and some will live. That's just a war. That's any kind of war, mental or physical war. You know, some will die, but we're so busy worrying about who's dying. We want to focus on more about the black men, how they dying, what they not doing in the household.
Yeah.
But talk about the heroes in the war, the generals and the real soldiers that's out here on the front line putting it down. I don't hear that. I don't hear it. But I'm quick to hear people talk about the dead. We want to talk about the dead.
But we're talking about no generalities. We're talking about when we don't say every single man. That's stupid. Is not doing what he should be doing. We're not saying that. We're talking about a systematic problem, and if we don't, if we're just on BS
about
it.
Wait a minute.
We're talking about the prison system,
what are you talking
right?
About?
Yes. Let's get back on topic. Hold on. Let's get back on topic.
All right.
Hold on. Let's get back on topic.
All right.
The main topic was we were talking about felons. We were talking about and that's what we're dealing with, Chris. We're not dealing with a bunch of other people that we're bringing into. We're talking about, in generalities, just about what happens to a felon. What happens to a felon is just what I said before. It is. It causes a chain reaction. Now, Miss Lady, I'm not saying that there are all black men out there that are not good. I have a black man that works his butt off, and he takes care of his family. But you do have the men that go to jail. They don't think about that one thing that they have done in their life is going to affect the rest of their family. And that's what I'm talking about.
What about them? Why should we sit on the worst part of a situation and that'll get us nowhere? That is like a rock that just sits there. What's the point? Okay, we know it. Black men in jail, they ain't doing nothing. All right, talk about the ones that are coming out of prison, becoming millionaires, inventing things and doing better programs, going to college, starting programs. I'm not hearing that. What do we need to talk about?
I thought people were saying that Oprah should have started programs for
we're not getting back on the Oprah kick. We were just Look, the bottom line is, Chris, I understand what you're saying, but those are very few and far in between. They're not on an everyday basis. You do have young men that come out of prison.
When somebody tries to acknowledge me about saying that, they always want to downplay it.
Let me finish what I was going to say.
The lady has to deal with reality, okay? Because women do that. We look at things globally. We just don't get stuck on one point. We're looking down the road.
Hold on. You guys, hold on one sec. One person at a time. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, who was talking?
I thought I could talk.
Who has something to say?
Huh? We don't know now. You blew everybody up.
Uh-huh. I thought I quieted up for
Mr.
a little
Cook,
bit.
I hear what Miss Lady's saying, but I think there's a point that's being missed. All right, I just want to say, I don't know. I haven't heard the conversation. Maybe you guys have covered this, but I think if you've got one in nine men, right, who are black in prisons in the U.S., okay, compared to 1 in 57 white men in prison, and that's that has gone off the internet, okay? That's a big advantage.
Yeah? Let me fairly targeted here, Ebony, all day and night. So, but the thing is that if you know you being a fairly target, if you know the standards don't apply to you like they apply to other people, if you know once you get in that track, it's going to be hard for you, your family, your kids that may not even be born yet. So why are you still making those choices?
The reason why choices like that are made is because we don't all have the same constitution.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the constitution of the United States. I'm talking about the constitution that's within you. We're not all equal in that regard.
Yeah.
We're not. So you got some of us who, like I said before, once that happened, okay, now I've been to jail twice and it's been misdemeanors. I'm not going to sit here and act like the shit is cool and what you hear, you know, if you try to get street cred, damn all of that, okay? I'm not trying to get a sandwich with a vanilla wafer smashed on the top, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, ain't no way in the world I'm eating this, and I got to go 48 hours without eating, and the only thing I'm doing is drinking water. Now, that's my constitution. However, you got a lot of people whose constitution is, hey, I'm going to do what I got to do. I don't care what the repercussions are. And that goes back to what Renee was saying, is that for every decision that you make, there's going to be a consequence. So you better think it through.
Yeah.
You better think it through. And that's all I wanted to say about that.
So I want to ask you a question. So you've been in jail twice, right?
Yep.
And after you went to jail, from what I'm understanding, you went to school, correct?
No, I'm a college grad before I went to jail.
Okay, but even before or after, my point is you don't hear that a lot. You know, people that are educated that went in or got some education after. You just hear the ugly, muddy, sloppy, messy picture about,
right,
oh,
right.
He's no good because he did this crime. And
right.
So I think that's great. Okay. That's all.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But the basis and the support behind that is that people today, young men today that go to jail, go to prison or whatever, become felons, they don't look at themselves as being able to be rehabilitated enough to take themselves to school, to go to college, to get educated. And that doesn't mean that you have to go to college to be educated. We established that in the prior shows. But I understand what you're saying.
Do women go to prison too lately?
Women go to prison as well. Women go to prison as well.
I haven't heard that. And it's the same situation.
You have the same situation, the breakdown of the family. So I'm not just saying in general, I'm saying a felon. So it's the same exact thing on both ends. When women get taken to prison, their families get broken apart, grandma, grandpa have to take care of the kids, and that's a breakdown of their kids get to visit them in prison. I mean, it's no better on either end. There's no good or bad about that. It's still a negative thing. So it's very hard to turn a negative into a positive when you experience it in life. It's hard. And that's all I'm saying.
And, you know, that's a very good point. And I want to say, when you have that kind of a family situation, that's not going to be more than likely a functional family, a positive family. That is her survival camp.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? I want to thank y'all for y'all comments. Renee, you the bomb, girl. We're going to have to work on your own show. I see that coming. And part of the network.
Lord.
I'm telling you. All right, y'all. Hey, I'm in a little pain, so we're going to end it kind of early today. Y'all be, I know.
Oh,
tomorrow
what happened?
We,
what's wrong, Mr. Talk?
Why no. I just had a little dental work done this morning, and you know, and it's finally wearing, you know, the anesthetic finally wearing off. And it don't feel
oh.
good.
Okay.
I was feeling good
poor
for
baby.
A hot minute.
Never mind.
Oh, well, thank you. All right, but as I always do, let y'all get your last words in. Let's see. Who came in late? Kat, are you there?
Yeah, I came in late. I was out and about. I kind of caught y'all were talking about the prison system.
Well,
is that
yeah,
what you're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about felons. Do they deserve another chance? So I'll let you go ahead and
start. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they deserve another chance.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
That's
I
it?
Do. I think that, well, the reason they don't get hired is because companies have insurance that, you know, makes it harder or says, you know, it's in that insurance policy that they can't hire people with certain types of convictions. Like if you have an arsonist charge, you can never work for a, you know, a large company, something like that. So.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, Kat. Hopefully you get in a little mm-hmm. earlier tomorrow. All
I'm
right,
sorry.
Miss Lady. No, it's okay. All right, Miss Lady.
Uh-huh. So you didn't think I made good comments, huh? I heard you complimenting Ebony and what's the other lady? Hello, ladies.
Oh.
All right. Go ahead, Goofy. Go ahead, Goofy.
Oh, God.
I just want everybody to have a great day. It's hump day. Today's
your day. Me like that. I just told I wasn't feeling good.
Nasties. Oh, I'm sorry. What happened?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Goofy. I was talking. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, it's hump day, everyone. Go out and hump somebody and enjoy it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, Goofy. Good point.
All right, Ebony. It's on you. Ebony? Oh, okay, we lost 70. I didn't do that. Okay, Chris.
All right, hey, I just
put the drink down, Chris.
Just want to say I enjoyed the show. I'm drinking water. Well, it looks like it. But I want to say, the show, you know, and everything in society is not always the black man's fault. You know, I am pro-black all day, pro-black Big Chris, you know, I'm pro-black myself, you know, you know, the thing is that people convicted felons, no matter what gender or race you are, deserve a big second chance in life, you know, and, yeah, that's about it. Y'all have a great day, and, yeah, I will hope to hunt somebody, Goofy, yeah. Have fun.
All right, Chris. Thank you, sir. All right, Knowledge. It's on you.
As always, Mr. Talk, it's a great show. I love being a part of it. And at the end of the day, I know that the topic was about felons, and then it kind of spilled over into other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what was important that Renee said was that it is a trickle down because it's hard to keep a conversation generic and not include extraneous things that happen that contribute to it. But at the end of the day, and this is specifically for the black community, we're starting to see sweeping changes in this country, and they are happening on a daily basis. So inevitably, you're going to have to choose a side. To anybody that's listening, you're going to have to choose a side. If you think you can stand on the sidelines and just watch the proceedings, guess what? Somebody will be knocking at your door, and like the movie Men in Black, that's how they're going to be dressed. So wake up, be alert, get involved, and have a constitution about yourself to where you care about your fellow human beings. And I'm out.
All right. Thank you, sir. I like that. All right, Renee, my co-host today.
Well, thank you for just having a great topic. This is an awesome topic. We should do this one again. And I just want to say, you know, just everyone has to realize when you make choices, no matter what your age, no matter what your gender, when you make choices, you have to be very, very, very understanding on what's going to happen to you. There's a consequence for every action. And if you end up becoming a felon or you know someone that's a felon, it's okay to give them a second chance. But you have to always remember, second chances only come by once. They only come by once. So take it and do a positive thing with it. That's all I have to say. Have a great day.
All right, thank you, Renee. And once again, big shout outs to your hugs and kisses, because you helped me out at the end there, because I'm in pain now.
So,
thank you. Oh, I will. All right, y'all, another great day here. I'm not going to do too much talking. I think Knowledge, Renee, Chris, Goofy, Cat, and even Miss Lady has said enough for today. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, but don't show appreciation to get appreciation back. Then you're just defeating the purpose. And forgive with an open heart. But make sure before you do that, your heart is open and you have forgiven yourself first. All right? Well, that's it for me, y'all. And tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 12 Pacific, the title of tomorrow's show, oh, yeah, I forgot, Black Men, What is Our Label Today? Y'all think I'm laying overnight. It's not what you think. All right. Till tomorrow, y'all. We're going to go out of here with some Man in the Mirror. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And I turned up the collarbone.